open your Bible. We'll start reading. We'll pray after that, and we'll go from there. Please open your Bible to 1 Corinthians, the first book of Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 10. We'll start reading verse 10, and we'll go to verse 16. Tonight, we'll be talking about Stephanus. And there are great lessons, I believe, that we can learn from that fellow named Stephanus. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Verse 12. Now this I say, that every one of you says, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the privilege to be behind this pulpit, Lord. Father, I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, Lord, and if I try to do anything in the flesh right now, it will be vain. Lord, you say, without me, you can do nothing. And I know that's absolutely true. Lord, I'm the weak vessel here. I know there is a message, there are notes, things that need to be said to your people. And Lord, I pray, Father, right now, please fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Please fill the ones that are gathered here in your name, in your spirit, Lord, so that they can understand, receive the message that you have for them. Lord, I pray that you will say through me what you once said and restrain my lips from saying anything that you don't want to be said. Lord, we'll give you all the honor, all the praise, all the glory. For all these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So first of all, what I would like you to notice here in the passage, we see that the church that was in Corinth is a very carnal church. There is contention, there is division. Some say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Paul is asking the question, it's sarcastic while saying to the Corinthians, they are so carnal, he has to talk unto them as babes in Christ. They are not strong enough to eat spiritual meat. And what he says, very interesting, in verse, after saying all of that, and then you get to verse 16, and he says, and are baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. The first thing we noticed is that Stephanus is saved, is a saved individual. Why can we say that? Because Paul, the Apostle Paul, baptized him. And as we can see, he doesn't know if he baptized any other. Stephanas was a saved individual. And we need to make sure tonight, I know I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd, but we need to make sure there might be someone among us that is not saved, that has not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We have young people here. And you need to know that in order to be saved, it's not because your parents are faithful in church. It's not because dad is reading the Bible every day. It's not because mom is praying every day. No, it just what, like Pastor said this morning, it has to be personal to you. You have to understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. It is personal. We know that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. We know that. But it has to come to a point that you understand that you, without Jesus Christ, you're without hope. And Jesus Christ says, I am the way, John 14:6, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the first thing we need to understand and that we need to see is that Stephanas is a saved man, saved individual. But not only that, his family is. Not only Stephanas is saved, but his family is saved. And not only they are saved, but they got baptized. How many times people come to church, they hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're under conviction, and they get saved, but I call them incognito Christians. They come, they get saved, and we might see them in heaven, some of them, and be, oh, wow, I didn't even know you were a Christian. Well, they just never said a word to anyone. They never testified. They were never a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because they, after their salvation, they went right back into what they were doing. They went right back into their sin. They went right back into the world. And so their testimony, you couldn't tell if they are saved or not. That is not Stephanas. Stephanas, not only he gets saved, but his household, his whole family gets saved. He takes it a step further. We know that two of the ordinances of the church, what is it? Baptism and the Lord's Supper. And Stephanas and his household, not only they get saved, but they get baptized. And it's interesting how so many churches get it confused and say, well, you need to be baptized in order to be saved. That has nothing to do with your salvation. You saved, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Your baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. Now, why do we get baptized? Why did Stephanas, why did Paul baptize Stephanas and his household? It's a testimony. It's a testimony to the church and to the world of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a testimony that you are saved, that you are born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. So here we see Stephanas. Not only is saved, his family, his household is saved, but he's baptized, but also his household is baptized. Got baptized. What does that make me think of? As soon as I read that passage, go to Acts chapter 16. Acts 16, very, very familiar passage. Paul and Silas are in jail. And look what happened. Acts 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. When you read that right away, you know that those people can only be saved individual. They must know God. You're in jail, and what are they doing? They are praying and they are singing praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are here." Well, that must have been a sin. Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This is one of the greatest questions recorded in the Word of God, recorded in the Bible. I wish when we will witness to our family, our friends, our co-workers, they will ask that question. "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" It's rarely the case. But wow, what a question. Verse 21, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That's it? No. "And thy house." It is very interesting that you see a man, Stephanas, taking a stand for God, taking a stand for Jesus Christ. Not only he gets saved, but his whole household gets saved. Not only he gets baptized, his whole household gets baptized. And man, this is what we need in our home. This is what we need in our home. We need men that will take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ so that their family members can see dad, grandpa, and that they love the Lord Jesus Christ, that they, no matter what the cost is, this is who I'm following. And when you do that, when you take a stand, God will bless it. God always blesses obedience. And usually, not all the time. It is sad sometimes that only one member, it can be the husband, it can be the wife, it can be only the son, only the daughter, that gets saved. But usually, when dad start following God, and I know one family, at least here in this church, that got saved, and it took a while for the family to get on track, but that got saved, that start going to church, and the rest of the family got saved. That got baptized, the rest of the family got baptized. That's not it. That's just the beginning of what we are reading about Stephanas. Please go with me now to Acts chapter 8. You're not too far. Something else I would like to show you. Acts chapter 8, verse 30. Very interesting passage. Very familiar again. So, verse 29. "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." So here you have the eunuch, and he's reading Isaiah chapter 53. This is what he's reading, but he can't understand it unless someone explain it to him. And so the Lord, and this is what the Lord does, he brings not only that eunuch, but Philip. And look what happens, verse 30. "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as the sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, get baptized first and then trust. No, he said, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, though thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So you see, same thing here. Not only the eunuch gets saved, but he gets baptized. Now, let's turn to the other scripture where we find Stephanus and his household. So we saw it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's go to the last chapter of the first book of Corinthians. Last chapter, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 15. Remember when we started reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, I beseech you, Paul, I heard you. Pay attention. I beseech you. Once again, verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanus. We see his testimony. Ye know the house of Stephanus. Who is Paul writing the epistle of Corinthians? To the church that is in Corinth. And they are known. I'm going to repeat it. I know you've heard it many times. But your talks, Pastor always says it. Say it one more time. Your talk talks. Your walk talks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. That's Stephanus. He's living in. He's living the Christian life. He's not being fake. He's not pretending to be someone. He's known. The church that is in Corinth knows the house of Stephanus. That's his testimony right there. And let's keep reading. That it is what? The first fruits of Achaia. So you have Achaia, which will be modern day Greece, Corinth. And if you look at north, will be Macedonia. And that's where you have Thessalonica. It is the first fruits. You know what it makes me think of as soon as I read that passage? First fruit of Achaia. Well, here it will be Corpus Christi, the first fruit in Corpus Christi in the state of Texas. But for Reunion Island, it will be the first people. We have 12 people out of 855,000 people that we know of that have a testimony of salvation. 12. They are the first fruits of a city on Reunion Island, Tampon, that's where it is right now, out of Reunion Island, out of that region. We see that they are the first fruit. And let me tell you something. There are things in life, it is good to be first. It is a good thing for Stephanus and his household to be the first one who say, you know what? Everyone else here does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone here around me, perhaps in Corpus Christi, in my neighborhood, at work, everywhere I go, they don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. They don't believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again for my sins, for me. He did that for me. Yet, you know what? You say, I'll be the first one. I'll be the first one to take him on. I'll be the first one to get saved. That's Stephanas. That is his household. They were the first fruits in that region. And that is a great thing to be the first one. Dads, it is a great thing to say, it doesn't matter what the rest of our family is doing. Hey, I'm going to follow the Lord. Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's Stephanas. He said, it doesn't matter what's happening around me. It doesn't matter what people do around me. I am going to step out by faith and serve God. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But you know what it means? It's a testimony. What a testimony. It was a testimony to the church at Corinth. But don't you think it is a testimony to everyone around them? Some people that you've been praying for Reunion Island, only 12 of them that we know of are saved. Some of them, their family have turned their back on them, but they say, I'd rather go with the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of the consequences, than just being in the world and serving the world. And the Bible tells us to not love the world. If the love of the world is in us, we don't love God. It's it, and we have a choice. We have a choice. Either, and young people, hear me, please. You have a choice, and be very thankful. Praise the Lord for being in a church that preaches and teaches the Bible. Wednesday night, Bible club, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, being able to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Thank your parents for bringing you here from a young age so you don't need to have the scars and to have the baggage that you have to carry with you for all these years. Thank them for that. And if you're in college and you are on the fence right now and the things of the world seems enticing, let me tell you something. I lived 22 years of my life in the world. It's not worth it. You don't want to go there. It leads to destruction. It leads to misery. This is where the joy is. This is where it is. So do not go there. Hear me. If you're on the fence right now, just make a choice. Stand up. Stay in your Bible. Stay faithful to the Word of God. And He will bless it. He will bless it. Go now, go back to the text, verse 15. Not only they were the first fruit of Achaia, but look, wow, what a passage. And that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Couple weeks ago, as I was reading this passage, I saw the word addicted, and I stopped. I said, wow, they addicted themselves, no, not to something negative, to the ministry of the saints. And so I said, okay, I'm going to search the word addicted. Where does it show up in the Bible? And I typed addicted one time. Well, addiction, none. Addict, none. Wow, this is the only time in your King James Bible that the word addicted shows up. And it is in a positive light. What do you think when you see the word addicted? The first thing that comes to mind, something negative. You think of drugs, alcohol, tobacco. And usually you stop there, but you know what? Can be food, sugar, shopping. Okay, let's move on that one. And just stop there. Sports. Look, from the age 10 to the age 22, before I got saved, I was addicted, not to the things of the Lord. Sports, tennis. And you know what? When someone is addicted, you know what he is? He's zealous. He's all in. He's all surrendered to it. It's a habit. He doesn't even have to think about it. He's addicted. He needs to have it. If he doesn't have it, he can't live. That was me. For 12 years, tennis, I mean, where do you find Ori? Simple. On the tennis court. You didn't have to think. I mean, that's where I was. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's where I was. That's where I was. For 12, 13 years of my life. Then I got saved. I thought, wow. And you know what happens? Telling you, listen, young people, listen. You start loving the Lord so much that these things that you used to like, that you used to love, it diminishes. And the things of God just become, like we said before, it becomes personal and it becomes just wonderful. And the love of Christ constrains us and you're just addicted. You just, every time the doors are open, you hear Wednesday, and it's not, oh, what are we doing today? Well, let's go to church. No, it's, you're looking forward to it. I've been praying all week. I can't wait to hear from you, Lord. I know it might hurt. I know I might be rebuked. I know I might be reproved, but that's because you love me. And you can't wait to hear what the preacher has for you that day. And guess what? God never fails. Every time you pray and you really want to hear from him, and like I said, sometimes it's not going to be comfortable, he just speaks to you right there, and you really think. So many times I said, okay, wait. Pastor either has a camera or there's something. I mean, there's no way. Every single time. But then when I talk to some of you, you say the same things. I say, okay, well, it's either he has all of us or... But it's amazing, and you get addicted. You surrender your whole life, your whole being. You just can't wait to be at church on Wednesday and Sunday, and then you're looking forward to an activity. What is the church doing? You become addicted. That was the Stephanas and his household. Not only Stephanas, his whole household. You're addicted. You are addicted. You know, some of you, it's amazing. The Lord put that message on my heart. And last Sunday, two of you came to me, not going to give names, and you said, wow, what a blessing it was to go on the seawall. I was so nervous. I was so scared. I went there and I started passing out tracts and I had a conversation and I was even able to tell someone how to be saved. You know what it is? It's addicting. You said that word to me and I thought, interesting how the Lord put that on your heart and he puts that message right there at that time. And those two people just said that it is addicting. And let me tell you something. It is addicting. If you haven't yet let someone, and I'm not, look, it's not Van Groy or Luke, I let someone, no, we're not talking about that. But when you lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, you can't beat that. Look, I've won trophies in tennis. It's nothing. It means nothing to see someone getting to the understanding that they are lost on their way to hell, but they understand that by trusting in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving him and receiving what he's done for them, putting their faith in him, man, that the joy, like this morning, I told my wife, said, this is going to be a good day. Sam's dad is saved. I was so excited. I called him right away. I said, your dad got saved. Oh, what? Man, it's addicting. You're addicted. You know, I tell you, if you haven't figured out yet, my wife and I, we are addicted to the ministry. We are. That's why I believe God calls you. A burden is not a call. We understand that. But God knows your heart. And when you are fully in, fully surrender, what happens? The things of the world go to zero. The things of God is just all you can think about. All you want is listen to preaching, being at church, helping. What can I do in the ministry? What can I do to be a help? That was Stephanus and his household. And I truly believe in order to be called to preach, to be a missionary, you have to be addicted. You have to be fully surrender. You can't be, well, I'll do it. No, fully, 100%. And young people, listen, I'm not saying that you need to be a missionary, you need a pastor. And if that's what God wants you to do, yes. But do not waste the opportunity. If that's what God has for you, for a career, or the wrong husband, the wrong wife, do not do that. Do not do that. Stay faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and to His words. Stay faithful in church. Keep coming here. Keep being fed. They were addicted. They addicted themselves. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Okay, if you want to know what is the specific ministry, Pastor did a great preaching on that. You can listen to it. I'm not going to go specifically on that. What I'll tell you, they were addicted to the ministry of the saints. They are addicted to the ministry for other people. They are looking at other people. How can I help in the church? They are not looking at themselves. What can I do? If it is to clean the restroom, to do the trash, to paint the building, to pull out weeds, to help in the children ministry, whatever the case is, to preach, to teach, whatever that is, Lord, I just want to be a help. I'm addicted. Lord, I'm addicted. Please, Lord, what can I do? One of the lady from Reunion Island, she saved, and she's, I'm telling you, she told me, she said, I'm addicted. I'm addicted. At first, after she got saved, she's a nurse, and she asked me to pray for her to be moved from one job that she was doing to another one. And she said, please pray that God will use me. And I said, no, I won't pray that. Why would you not pray that? I said, no, what I'm going to pray, what I learned, I'm going to pray that God makes you usable in what He wants you to do. And you know what happens? This week, we were just talking about it. Every week, she said, I have another person you need to talk to. I gave them a track, and I told them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I told them how to be saved. Now you take over. Here's the phone number. And just, I told them, I said, call the pastor. I don't know exactly how to lead them to the scripture. So you show them. She told me, every day I come prepared. You tell me Ephesians 6, 10 to 18, pull on the whole armor of God. And that's what I'm doing. And then I'm getting in my job. And you know what? Every single time God puts that person that needs to hear the gospel right there. And what happens? I'm so thankful and I'm so happy where I'm working now. Do not pray actually that the Lord changed me in the under the service. Every single time, every single day, there is someone that needs to hear the gospel. Every single time. And what happens? For 15 minutes, usually they speak to me. I let them speak. And then after 15 minutes, say, okay, now I have something for you. Look, it's a gospel track. Now, look, read that. Read the story. It's a great story, but read the last page is what's important. the last page. And then look, if you have any question, and she puts my number. She writes my number. But you know, that's a blessing. That's someone who's addicted, all in. She's looking every day. She's looking for an opportunity to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. We need. Let me tell you the secret. Young people, older people. I'll stop there. We need to be addicted to the Christian life, the joy in the Christian life. I'm telling you. You know my testimony. I got saved. Got addicted. And then when God said, perfect. Good. I want you to start doing that. I'm Reunion Island. Oh, well, I started praying for someone to go there, not me. But then when he made it pretty clear that's probably what he asked for me, I said, okay, you know the testimony, he got out of church. That was young people. That is miserable. That is misery. It's miserable. Don't go there. Don't go there. I'm just telling you once again. Got back on track. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord for that, that he gives us a second chance. Praise the Lord for that. And then God addicted. And you know how the Lord does things? I'm telling you, he guides you step by step when you're addicted. I still remember, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? The trash. All right, here we go. Here am I. Let's do the trash. Okay. Start doing the trash. And then I want you to do more. How about the children? How about you help the children's ministry? And I still remember, I told my wife, I said, the Lord put down my heart. I'm going to ask Pastor Tony, but it's full. There's no need of teachers. And I go to Pastor Tony, and that same week he said, man, this is perfect. Perfect timing. Brother Cade is going to Houston. I thought, really? Exactly at the timing. I mean, I'm telling you, folks, when you become addicted to the ministry, God will make, it will be so clear, so natural. There's nothing forced. There is the peace of God that Pastor understanding, and he's just guiding you through. Okay, here we go. Makes the next right step. Next step. Next step. It's very clear and plain. There is no confusion. Okay. Let's keep reading. Verse 16. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 16. So not only the house of Stephanas, him and his family were saved, they were baptized. What else? We saw that they were addicted to the ministry of, they were the first fruit of Achaia, sorry. They were addicted to the ministry of the saints, verse 16, that ye submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laborers. You get orders. You see, when you're like that family, Stephanas and his household, you get other people to follow you. You have a testimony, and other people start following you. And that is a great blessing. You first, after you get saved, what do? You sit down, you listen to the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, and then it becomes a time that you do more. Now, you start having responsibility. You're given a responsibility in the ministry. And once again, I named them. You can serve, in the children ministry. I'm so thankful. Thank you, every lady. I don't know all your names, but that I've changed all the diapers of my three children. Seriously, the nursery, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. That is a ministry. Our pastor, radio ministry, Pastor Tony goes to the jail ministry. You go on. Port Ministry, we have men that are addicted every single week. They're there. And they can't wait to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ there. I mean, so many ministries. The singing, a lot of ministry. So you start doing that. Verse 16. Now, verse 17. I am glad, Paul writing, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. What was lacking on their part, Stephanas and his household, they say, it doesn't matter if I'm recognized for it. I'm here. What else do you want me to do? What can I do? Pastor Welder, Pastor Seal, what can I do? What can I do to be a blessing? What can I do to help? Not to bring attention to myself. What can I do in the ministry? What can I do? I'm doing this. Okay, good. I have some other free time. I want to do more. What else can I do? That's what they were doing, because some people were not doing what they are supposed to be doing. They said, hey, it doesn't matter. Let's do more. Let's do more. We are addicted to the ministry of the saints. So if we need to do more, I'll do it. Whatever it is that you have me to do, I'll do. And I'll be faithful. Look at verse 18 when you do that. This is what a beautiful, beautiful scripture here. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Let me ask you this, Brandon. Wouldn't you like to refresh our pastors that labor so much in the world and be a blessing and not be a burden? I want to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing to our pastors for what they do, for all the labor. And look, we are just starting in the ministry. And let me... I am so thankful for the pastors we have and for the church we have here. Because when you start the ministry and you think, these two men have been doing this for how many years? I remember Pastor Tony standing here and said, I want to quit every day. I've already felt like that. So many times. And every day too. So I'm telling you, we do not want to take these men for granted and what they do for us, for this church, for this church. Refresh, they have refreshed, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them, the Bible says, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Would you like our pastor to give an account for our soul and doing it with joy or with grief? That's what the Bible says, that they may do it with joy. And it is a great blessing when someone in the church and steps up and say, Pastor, what can I do? What can I do to be a blessing to the church, to be a blessing to others? What can I do to help? Not for vainglory, for Him to be glorified, for the Lord Jesus Christ to be glorified. Let's be like Stephanas and his household. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your words. Lord, thank you so much for the certainty, Lord, and that we have in them. Lord, thank you so much, Father, for all that you do for us and all the many blessings. And thank you so much, Father, for this church and all these people, Lord, that have served you faithfully for so many years. Lord, I am so thankful for them. I just pray, Father, that you will help us. Help us, O Lord, to be like Stephanas and his household. And I pray, Lord, if there is anything else, Lord, that you want us to do in the ministry, Lord, that you will show that to us very clearly, very plainly, and that we'll obey what it is that you want us to do. I pray, Lord, that you may be pleased and glorified in all of it. For all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.